Hello, everybody, and welcome to Minisode 206.
No.
Yeah.
No. With a very special guest, Crendor.
Thank you. Yeah. Honestly, thank you. That's more than Jesse has ever done, and I appreciate that.
Just give it a little. Yeah.
No attack. Save that for the beginning of every only. Scary game squad.
Yeah. Oh, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, no. I'm going to scary game squad. Jesse Cox. YouTube.com/JesseCox here. Hey. Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Minisode number 4000.
Hey, what's going on?
You ever realize we all have beards?
True. I mean, doing a podcast.
The vibe
as well.
Would be different if somebody didn't have a beard. I feel like it does make you different.
We frequently have non-bearded guests, and I will say it's always awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they definitely
it's always weird.
I haven't done it in a little while, but I bounce back and forth between the mustache and the beard, and it changes.
You know what?
It changes how people treat you.
Yeah, the mustache. I would walk on the other side of the street. If I saw you coming down the street wearing what you normally wear with a mustache, I'd be like, that guy's going to touch my butt.
I walked into that fucking bar in Echo Park. I forget what it's called, the 4100, the 3100, whatever the fuck it's called. I walked right in. The bartender said, hey, Magnum P.I., all right.
That's awesome. That's and fantastic. You dress like Magnum P.I., though. That's the thing.
I know. I get it. I get where he was going.
I
guess it's better than Lebowski, but
yeah,
still funny. But you get treated differently. Everybody mentions pornography when you have a mustache all the time.
It's true.
Yeah.
Pornography and pedophilia are the two P's, as I call them.
It's true, actually. You're correct. Yeah.
The two P's, as I call them.
Let's get away from pedophilia and pornography. And head off to Jesse, who's said he was very excited about something, so I really want to know what it is.
I am excited about this. Hey, astronomers using the James Webb telescope, which is a thing we've talked about frequently on here.
Love that thing.
Using it to peer back in time to the farthest reaches of the universe, have found some stunning evidence for an alternate theory of gravity. Back in 1983, an alternate theory of gravity called Modified Newtonian Dynamics, or MOND, proposed by Mordechai Milgram, suggested that the universe formed very quickly and the theoretical concept of dark matter isn't even a thing. There's no such thing as dark matter. Now, researchers at Case Western have scans of ancient galaxies, and it seems to contradict the predictive models based on what we currently use, which is the cold dark matter theory. And it seems to more closely align with MOND. The original model, this cold dark matter, long posited that dark matter is essential for explaining any structure in the universe at all. And according to this model, dark matter's gravitational influence shaped galaxies and caused the formation of large-scale structures. It predicts the ancient galaxies in the earliest parts of the universe would in fact be very small and dim, and they were gradually pushed together by dark matter over cosmic time, over bajillions of years, right? Instead, newly observed galaxies appear bright, large, and fully formed, even as scientists peer deeper into the universe's past. This unexpected brightness directly challenges the conventional understanding of galaxies forming the way they do by dark matter. And this is a quote from Stacy McGough. Astronomers invented dark matter to explain how you get from a very smooth early universe to big galaxies with lots of empty space in between them that we see today. And so again, dark matter is just a concept, right? The biggest problem with all this, though, is that so far, the original cold dark matter theory has been absolutely correct in predicting everything we know about the universe since the 1920s. Evidence, for pretty much everything going on, from even the cosmological constant of the universe perpetually expanding, like all the different things we know have been correct based on this original model, except now we're peering back in time and we're discovering that it may not be completely correct, which is super interesting. And really, it just goes to show that scientists, at the end of the day, it's that big,
it's
very philosophical idea that the more you know, the less you know.
It's trippy to see.
Can I just say that Mordechai Milgrom sounds like a Lord of the Rings character where, like, Gandalf, they're like, we must find the neutral wizard. He isn't good, no good or evil. He lives in the mountains. Mordechai Milgrom.
The balanced wizard. He never gets angry and shows no emotion. He always sits at exactly 90 degrees.
The neutral wizard, dude. He's not good or dark mattered. He's all right.
He just invented PlayStation 7,000 years before it was created.
I got something kind of cool. This goes with space. I'm going to give you all a link if you want to. It's
I would love a link.
It's a research paper. This is tied
boring.
To
just kidding.
UAP things that people have come across in our atmosphere and plasma. And the idea behind it, I'll just read the abstract here.
By the way, for the record, for anyone who's curious, the article is on ResearchGate. And ResearchGate, you can find all sorts of free articles.
This is beautifully formatted, easy to read, really good.
Good stuff.
To give you an idea how new this was published on October 28th, 2024. So like
in the Scientific Research Publishing. The Journal of Modern Physics, 2024. Yep.
So this is crazy cool shit. Because this is something that has been theorized some of these UAPs may be, in fact. And it says, abstract is, as documented by NASA, space shuttle films and detailed in this report, self-illuminating, pulsating, plasma-like UAP/UFOs, quote-unquote plasmoids, have different shapes and sizes, are attracted to electromagnetic activity, and travel at different velocities from different directions, making 90 to 180 degree turns, as well as colliding, intersecting, and piercing other plasmas, and has been filmed by U.S. Navy personnel and a U.S. Customs and Border Protection DHC-8 flying above and diving/sinking beneath the ocean, as by NASA and by NASA following, circling, and hovering near space shuttles, satellites, and the Mir International Space Station, and congregating above and descending into thunderstorms in the lower atmosphere, which is the air corridor favored by commercial and military craft. If you scroll way down in the paper, you can see all the photo. They have a bunch of photo examples of what these things are.
Yeah, I saw some of those pics already.
Yeah. And this may account for reports of UAPs following, harassing, chasing, or quote unquote toying with aircraft. Plasmas also have explosive properties, negatively affect electronics and mental activity, possibly including hallucinations of alien abductions, pass through glass, plastic, metal, and enter the cockpits of airplanes and have been observed by astronauts inside spacecraft, the MIR and ISS. It is hypothesized that given their propensity to collide, plasmoids may be responsible for at least some unexplained, inexplicable aircraft disasters. Hmm. Thunder, lightning storms are the main drivers of Earth's GEC, a geoelectrical current, I believe is what that is, and direct positive currents into ionospheres, which attract plasmas. The troposphere also has a positive charge, and the ocean surface under white water and turbulent condition develops a positive charge. And we hypothesized that this accounts for sightings of UAP in the lower atmosphere, soaring above and diving into oceans, including, as reported here, shape-shifting UAP replicants that split into or generate additional shape-shifting UAPs as filmed by NASA and U.S. Customs. Plasmoids appear to purposefully interact and engage in complex behaviors, and it is suspected they are sentient and represent a fourth domain of life. Although plasmas in the lower atmosphere may be responsible for UAP sightings over the centuries, including those that appear to quote-unquote battle over cities, which were Battle of LA and so on, or follow and harass military ships and planes, plasmoids cannot account for all UAPs, which may include extraterrestrial spacecraft from other worlds. So they're saying it's some, but not all. And if you read it's a 100-page paper. I did not read all of it. But what they say is they observe what these things doing, acting with a purpose, and encountering that, watching them doing what they consider hunter-like behavior, where a plasmoid will stalk another plasmoid and sometimes within a group and like merge in on it and like kind of take it on itself. And they seem to have some sort of, they call it a sort of pre-DNA, where they're able to replicate themselves in ways that they didn't think they could. Here it is. The thermosphere, ionosphere, blah, blah, blah. Those of the upper ionosphere and lower atmosphere have various shapes, sizes, and colors, and some consist of multiple plasmas and can replicate, forming additional plasma as well as change shape. Glowing, pulsating plasmoids have been filmed in the ionosphere and lowing atmosphere flying in V formations, and as verified by quantitative analysis, will accelerate to hyperspeeds and make 90 and 180 degree turns, as well as colliding, merging, and piercing one another.
That's pretty good.
A recent quantitative analysis of 20 seconds of stable film footage from the STS-115 tether incident indicates that some plasmoids range in size from 0.1 to 4 kilometers square and travel at speeds of 17.4 miles per second, which yields a velocity of 1,044 miles per minute or 62,640 miles per hour.
4 kilometers square?
Yeah, square. Others travel at much faster rates, but whose velocities have yet to be determined. Collectively, these plasmoids exhibit aerodynamic characteristics well beyond those of any known aircraft or missile, either manned or unmanned. And basically, they're like, these things in our atmosphere are a form of life that we just don't understand. The way they act, the way they hunt, the way they move or group together, where they tend to fuck around with, like, they follow mechanic, like airplanes and all this shit. It's fucking fascinating, and it would make sense that some of these things, like, they're not saying they're there like having telepathic communication with you. These things are just a version of life that we don't understand because they don't have a DNA or a cell structure like we do. They're based off of like energy conglomeration acting as a almost a multicellular organism. That's another way they compare it.
This is super interesting because there's two things in this that I absolutely love. One is that the keywords that they're using, one of them is extremophile, which is what are those little tiny microscope guys with the circle mouths? What are those guys called?
What?
The thing, like if you look into a microscope,
oh, the like bear guys, whatever.
Yeah, the guys with the little tiny microscope bear.
Tardigrades.
Yeah, those guys. That's what an extremophile is. It's that type of. So this, they're saying like this potentially could be like doesn't have to be communicating with this, but it could be something, which is interesting. And then. Also in this as well is there is, I guess this year as well in July, new AI program helps identify elusive space plasmoids. So they're using AI to track them now, which is super interesting as well. Again, don't know exactly what it is.
Right. Like they say they act like multicellular organisms, in a way where like they're hunting each other and there's like, there's clear, like, I don't want to say motive. That's not the word. Instinct, perhaps, is a better word. Like a primal, like instinct of like hunting like each other and shit. Yeah. Which, in a weird way,
but it could instead of it being instinct, could it be like the positive ions?
Well, that's what the study was. Like, I think.
Could it be
right?
They're like, attracting each other? Because here,
let me read this.
Their energy.
Plasmoids appear to be electrical phenomenon attracted to and with some possibly producing lightning, produced by lightning, rather. It's been hypothesized that dusty plasmas in the thermosphere may have incorporated all the necessary elements for the synthesis of RNA leading to DNA and thus life. Stanley Miller and Harald Urey in their famous experiments designed to produce life exposed a mixture of gases and elements to a continuous electrical spark simulating lightning and produced organic chemicals in 33 different amino acids, including 11 of those necessary to create the proteins. This is like lightning, bam, doing that experiment.
It's like basically lightning creating little microscopic Frankensteins that exist for a short amount of time, then disperse. The vibe.
I don't know if it disperses. Yeah, it says if life can be created via interactions between lightning.
I mean, what happens to the plasmoids when they're done? Like, they go away.
So I imagine, yeah, I don't know.
It's suspected that they're sentient.
Yes, that was sentient. Yeah, they're saying sentient.
Like,
some
I
level
can't
of
go
sentient.
That far.
That's suspected. Like, that's, I mean, that means that's probably in here.
But there would have to be evidence for the sentience, you know?
Yeah, that's what this paper is, I think.
It says, here's a paragraph that might directly apply to that. It says, it is important to avoid anthropomorphizing what may be purely electromagnetic push-pull attraction repulsion when exposed to high-charged environments and surrounded by plasmas of opposite or similar or changing electric charge. However, according to Alvin, and then there's a couple of, like, notation numbers, these plasmas contain cellular membranes, whereas plasma with a nucleus have been reportedly observed and which contain glowing spheres. And then they give about 10 to 12 picture references to go look at. To speculate, these internal spheres could be construed as ganglia and neural networks or circular double-stranded DNA plasmids that have the ability to replicate and self-clone. Based on laboratory experiments, a number of scientists have proposed that dusty plasmas may form crystalline RNA-DNA helixical structures and may represent a non-biological form of life or pre-life. So there are ones that disperse, yeah. And there's ones with a center that seem to like replicate in a pre-life RNA DNA style thing.
But wording wise, the word construed is very important because it doesn't mean it is. It means it can be interpreted as this. So it doesn't necessarily mean that's like, you know, it's a paper. So word.
Yeah, but is this it? Is this disclosure? Is this it?
I mean, I think this is part of it for sure. Like, even if these things aren't anything more complex, and that's still fucking cool.
If they're
and
sentient
weird, these things
energy
are up
beings
there.
That are live in our world,
not sentient.
I think the important thing is if suspected. You scroll down to page 1838, there is a happy son and a sad son engaged in this warfare among these
battle
beings.
Of LA or something like that. Yeah, I remember seeing
the battle of Nuremberg.
Nuremberg.
I did this on a episode one time, I think. Yeah.
I have proposed means of scientifically studying, examine these plasmas. They have ways of studying them. Yeah, these just pictures. There's a ton of pictures. Elongated pulsing object that followed. Yeah, these are all just pictures now. Whatever, like, yeah. And I'm just, the plasma sphere. Plasmas have been filmed in the thermosphere, appearing from off camera, approaching and descending into thunderstorms, whereas others have suddenly materialized and begin glowing in the space medium above thunderstorms. These and other plasmoids may hover in place or travel in a trajectory that leads to a thunderstorm within which they descend. So like hunting for food or looking for food. Or which makes them a piercing target for plasmas, which they have air quotes or in quotes hunters and entities as yet unidentified coming from a different direction. We hypothesize that those that suddenly materialize in the thermosphere either A, travel or arrive at near light speed and come to a sudden halt, B, or they are formed by localized electromagnetic activity generated by lightning storms, or C, often within masses of illuminated and pulsating plasmas, they're those that are not illuminated and appear as shadows. Therefore, it is possible that plasmas may turn on or off their illumination. Then there's D, it is also possible that they and other plasmoids originate in and seep across from a fifth dimension when electromagnetic activity produced by a massive thunderbolt is transformed into mass that becomes a small black hole that pierces a brain, B-R-A-N-E, separating the fifth dimension from those four comprising our known universe. Some of those that materialize also appear to be emerging from a surrounding darkened area that could be likened to a hole in space-time.
Time out.
Is this serious?
So the options here are, A, they hyperspace in, and stop immediately, and they're from a different galaxy or whatever. B, electricity causes them, but we'll move on quickly. To C, blinking light and dark. And then D, they're from a different fifth dimension. So
dude, how is Section 18 when plasmoids attacked Los Angeles?
Like, what if?
they're taking some license. When plasmoids attacked Los Angeles... It does like a summary of the Battle of Los Angeles, which we covered on the show before. And then at the end, it says, what were these self-illuminated pulsating orbs that were flying in formation? Our best guess is they were plasmas. End of segment. End of section.
Yeah, they had me in the beginning. They had it. Now I'm like, you can't just say, well, it could also be this.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like they give a few reasons that are basically cover the gamut, but they exist. That's the thing. It's like whatever they are, they exist.
I don't like this article anymore.
Could be gnomes.
It's a paper
could
that
be
was
gnomes.
Submitted and published. It's like a scientific paper. It's not an article.
I mean, has it been peer reviewed? I think that's the.
It was submitted in October. I mean, August
so probably
for
probably not.
I don't know how you. Yeah, when? How long does it take to
I would
peer
assume
review?
No, although, I mean, if it's in the Journal of Modern Physics,
yeah.
It exists there probably to be reviewed, I would think.
Let's see. Authors, citations.
I'm pretty sure that's how it would work.
Journal of Modern Medicine. Yeah, I don't know.
This
you would think.
It's like viral marketing for a Godzilla movie. Like, this is crazy.
It says it was received on August 4th, 2024, accepted October 25th, 2024, and then published October 28th.
So there's no review that they accepted it as a scientific paper,
but it was published in the Journal of Physics, right, or something like that.
Modern Journal of Physics, yeah.
Journal of Modern Physics, yeah.
Journal of Modern Physics. I don't, again, that means nothing to me. I don't know. Astrobiology Research Center, California, Department of Astronomy, University of Arizona, Department of Vision Sciences, Ashton University, Center for Astrophysics and Space. These are all things that are listed. I don't know. Either way.
Looking at it right now, as far as I can tell, it was reviewed. They in order to get it in the journal, they had to submit it. It had to be screened. It had to be sent to people who then provided feedback to get the author's response. Then there was an editorial decision to publish.
Okay, yeah, so it was.
They were like, yeah. Again, the question might be then, it isn't that they agreed. They just looked through the research and were like, yeah, this seems to check out and seems reasonable on like a research basis.
If it's sound, it's sound, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think they're saying that they're definitely coming from this, but they are.
No, they're
saying,
just throwing out possibilities.
Yeah, it's a possibility. Either way, these things, whatever they are out there seemingly. Whether they're just like brief existences of these things that act like little multicellular organisms or not, it's just fucking cool because that makes sense for some of the UAP things out there. Would totally make sense that these things
would
be.
Let me tell you something. This is absolutely incredible that that is what the topic was today so far from you, because the thing that I have right here. Okay. We're on R. Irvine on Reddit because Kelly's from Irvine. And so we got this post today, which is called "Anyone else see this flying object over by Jamboree and Mickelson," which is an intersection in Irvine. And it said, "It sort of looked like something floating on some sort of jetpack. Was wondering if anyone knew anything about it. It was slowly lowering altitude as I was driving around the area. It ended up getting blocked by the trees and I haven't been able to see it since." So I'm going to send you that, article now, that post, you can see it right here. And, it also has a comment on it from a guy who said, his name is Jallop. He said, "I was golfing at Rancho San Joaquin and I saw this and got video clips of it. Bizarre." This happened an hour ago. He posted this, by the way. This is like a recent post. The post is from 8 hours ago. He posted an hour ago. So first of all, if you look at this thing, it looks like a jellyfish UAP. Yeah,
a little bit jellyfish.
It also kind of looks like a jetpack guy, but it's a really big picture. And if you zoom in, it looks like there's a fucking plasma right next to it, dude.
Oh, you see the little spot next to it.
What is that? It looks like a cell. Yeah. It looks like a multicellular plasmoid.
It does look similar to some of the white dots that are in the tree, though.
White dots in the tree. Let me look.
See? It's a white dot, then there's white dots all over the tree, the top of the tree.
It's true. But what's going on? But what is this flying object?
It almost looks like a spider hanging. Ooh,
it kind of does from like this, but when you zoom in, it then looks a little weirder.
I feel like it could
be a spider.
A construct. Like there's circles and things coming out of this that it's clearly constructed of some type. The hard part about this is because the sky is so perfectly blue and it's up, there's no point of reference for this. It could either be very small and right above the trees, or big and way in the distance past the trees.
Yeah, it's hard to fucking tell.
It's really hard to tell.
Maybe it's a plasma.
I see the spider. Somebody said it was a spider in the comments too.
I'm thinking, because it almost looks like a spider is just hanging in front of the tree and it's just closer. So it's just bigger. Yeah.
But when
far
I look
away,
up,
100% looks like a spider.
But when I look close, up close, it doesn't. It looks to me exactly like that jellyfish UAP that we've been looking at.
It does have that. I don't know, man. But it's also weird. We know that we've seen multiple reports in LA of what is clearly a dude flying around in a jetpack.
Some kind of jetpack.
LA is fucking wild, man. It's like a whole ass alien world.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it was some rich dude. This town's filled with rich guys and tons of free time.
It's wild. You know, when you think about it, LA is just kind of like Florida, but there's a bunch of rich people there to like make up for it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. We have that's the thing about LA. It's like, it's Florida, but it's also like New York, but it's also like Mexico City. It's also like, I mean, it's just like a million different things. It's so fucking weird. I can't even grasp it myself. And I was born here.
And that's what makes it so magical. Just like our show. Thank you all so much for watching and listening. Crandor, thanks for being here.
Thanks.
We'll see you in a month. Literally 1 month from today, actually. Today's November 20th. 1 month from today, December.
Ha cha cha.
We'll be back next week with another minisode. Thank you all so much for supporting us here at Patreon. We appreciate you. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.